Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610. With the 5 o'clock fire, presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
Welcome in. It's 5 o'clock. You're off work. Get you a drink of some sorts. Why not here? Clint Sterner, he is out on his honeymoon. But for you, 12-year NFL vet, former Houston Texan Wade Smith is in the building. And Wade, let's jump into it. The biggest story in the NFL right now is what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. And Diana Rossini of ESPN, she spoke more to where maybe the Texans are in that process in terms of talking to teams that would be interested in Deshaun.
They've shut it down in Houston. You know, they're obviously trying to get control over the narrative there. But I feel very comfortable sharing that they do not want to trade Deshaun Watson. Nick Caserio has taken calls. There are teams that I've spoken to who have spoken to Nick Caserio. But when they take the conversation into a trade opportunity, even broaching it, it's shut down immediately. This is something the teams that are interested, the tone they're getting is Nick Caserio does not want to be the GM that's coming into Houston and getting rid of a once-in-a-lifetime type of player that I think we know has so much value. We know Deshaun doesn't want to play there. It's pretty darn clear at this point. But the Texans, they are still married to this. They have not given up on making this work with Deshaun Watson.
Okay, your thoughts on this. They have not given up. At least we are hearing that people aren't having to leave voicemails anymore, but Nick is taking calls. But when it gets to the Deshaun part, nothing. He's ending conversations. Man, after the David Culley conversation that was reported that Deshaun had, the thought was, all right, man, it's over. Like Lewis Riddick said, you got to get the best you can. Are you getting concerned in terms of a timetable that the Texans aren't at least now talking to people and talking to potential suitors to try to make the best deal possible?
Yeah, with free agency coming up in 2 weeks, I think the time is now for Nick Caserio to, when the conversation turns to Deshaun Watson, to open his ears and not try to steal the conversation to other players and shutting it down. Because when you look at the place that the Texans are in, I know that Diana said that Nick Caserio doesn't want to be the GM that trades away Deshaun Watson. But would you rather be the GM that trades away Deshaun Watson, or the guy that just let him sit to the side and eventually had to trade him when you got less than you could have gotten out of him if you would have made the deal before free agency or before the draft? To me, you want to be the guy that is as pragmatic as possible and understands that I'm playing it the right way by making sure everybody knows that I don't want to trade him and I get the utmost value out of this generational talent. But at the end of the day, he does not want to play for this organization. And if he does not want to play for this organization, I have to move on and bite the bullet and get the most that I can out of a blockbuster trade. And so that time is up of him just steering the conversation other ways or not answering the phone. The time now is to go ahead and answer those phone calls, talk about making a deal, and get it done in the next 2 weeks in principle so that on draft day you can consummate that deal and get a boatload of draft picks, get you a quarterback like Sam Darnold to be here for the next couple years and potentially going forward, and then you can move on from Deshaun Watson and start to build this thing from scratch.
Is the timetable really necessary now? Because April 29th is the draft.
Yes.
I mean, how fast could this come up? Like, how fast could this come about where, bam, they get the best deal possible? Or for you, do you think they need to start now and to start really vetting things out, even though April 29th seems like they do have time?
I mean, it seems like it's far away, but it's really not. And other teams are making moves. Other teams have to build their programs. They have to build their organizations. They have to build their rosters. And so free agency is coming up in 2 weeks. The draft is coming up about 4 or 5 weeks after that. You don't want teams to get enamored with one of these young quarterbacks that could potentially be a trade partner. You don't want the quarterback carousel to go in such a manner that maybe a team that's potentially on the hook that needs a quarterback in the draft, all of a sudden they find somebody else. And so now is the time to start having those conversations. Now is the time to start figuring out what's the best possible deal that you can get so that you can go into the draft yourself with a plan to utilize all these first-round draft picks that you can get, with a plan to move your organization forward. Because if you don't trade them on draft day, whatever you get for Deshaun in the future, whether if you hold him out for the rest of his career, you just say, you know what, I'm putting my hands in my pocket. What you did is said, because of principle, I am not doing what's in the best interest of this franchise. And that should not be accepted.
5 o'clock fire.
Well, speaking on the other side, this is not on the script. I'm looking at this right now. Developing story here. Seahawks are fielding trade offers for Russell Wilson.
Mr. Unlimited.
First off, once again, I am floored that we are even to this point. Another thing that I am dead wrong on. I said there's no way that Pete Carroll and John Snyder are going to look at what's happening with the Houston Texans and put themselves in a position to have to make things are going down and lose Russell Wilson and Sierra. There is no way that I would believe that they were going to allow that to have to happen. I'm still not believing that Russell Wilson's not going to be a Seattle Seahawk, but I cannot believe that they're even fielding offers.
There were trade rumors 2 years ago about Russell Wilson. It seems like every couple of years their trade rumors coming up. Schneider is not a GM that's not going to listen to offers. He's going to listen to offers. If they give him an offer that makes sense, he'll make the deal. He's not beholden to any one person at all.
He should be beholden to Russell.
No, you can't do that, because if you do that, then they got you. It's all about leverage, and business is business. You can't beholden to a specific player.
I bet the Chiefs hate that they got by Patrick Mahomes.
Well, you got to understand now, Pat Mahomes is a lot younger than Russell Wilson. You got to understand, Pat Mahomes is 6'4", 6'5". Russell Wilson came into the game as like a third-round draft pick and a guy that overachieved.
What's the deal that John Snyder would take that would make sense to unload Russell Wilson?
That's a good question, and I don't have an answer for you right now because you just put me on the spot. give me 30 minutes to kind of.
Well, you said
I represent the Texans, man. I'm trying to get the Texans better. I'm not trying to get the Seahawks better. I want the Texans to be great.
It's interesting,
so
though.
Give me 30 minutes and maybe I'll come up with something. But right now, I don't know.
It's interesting that they are fielding calls, but the Texans aren't.
The Texans are trying to play it the right way. Everybody knows Schneider is a guy that's going to field calls. This is not the first time he's field calls about Russell Wilson, specifically about him being traded. So this doesn't surprise me. I think this time, based off of the information that's come out, and him verbally putting it out there and being disgruntled with different decisions with the coaching, that it actually might take place now, because I think he's 30 years old now.
Yeah.
So it might take place now, and maybe they want to rebuild with draft picks, and maybe they feel that they have an opportunity to get somebody else in there. But them fielding calls, I think that's what you should be doing anyway.
No,
Nick Caserio, hey, he's trying to get the best out of it because Deshaun Watson is 25 years old, and this is an anomaly situation.
You can't get the relationship get this bad. Like, you like Russell goes in and speaks honestly about the offensive line, and I understand Russ is a part of it, but he speaks honestly about the offensive line, and you just basically hit that man with that kick rocks. Like hey, you got to make that work.
Remember on any given Sunday when LL Cool J was in the meeting room, or not in the meeting room, they were in the locker room during the game, and the offensive coordinator says something. He's like, "You're the offensive coordinator, Crozier." Remember how you put him in his place? Like, they do the same thing with players. Listen, you're the quarterback, but this is our organization. You're going to do what we say you're okay. going to do. Right. So, you know, certain people have certain roles within the organization. Russell can say and want certain things to be a certain way, but ultimately he doesn't get to make that call. But when he's disgruntled, he can say, "Hey, I want out." And anybody that knows anything knows that if a player doesn't want to play for you, eventually that guy goes. That's why all this stuff with Deshaun, saying Deshaun ain't going nowhere.
We haven't even heard that from Russell yet. We haven't heard that from Russell yet. But
Russell's camp put out there that there's four teams that he would want to get traded to.
And he didn't say he doesn't want out. He said if it were to happen. Said there were four.
That's the nice guy way of saying that.
But then Seattle
trade me to these places. It'll be fine. I'm not going to be mad.
But then Seattle lets it get out that they're fielding calls.
Lord.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, developing news coming out from the Astros. This was Dusty Baker, the manager, giving an update on their pitcher, their number one pitcher, Framber Valdez.
Just trying to make a decision on what we're going to do. Oh, yeah, I mean, it's a real big deal. I mean, he was just coming into his own. You saw how he pitched last year. You saw how the progress that he made. And you saw how he pitched down the stretch. Yeah, it's a tremendous blow. But, you know, we're going to have to try to hopefully somebody in our system can come through like Framber did for us last year.
And the reason why this is even more important, Wade, this is from John Heyman, the initial recommendation is that Valdez would have to have surgery to repair his fractured ring finger, which is the early belief that could mean he'd miss the entire 2021 season. The Astros have been reported they're getting a second opinion before commenting further on this situation, but this would be, I think, a humongous blow. It's the best pitcher, in my opinion, on the staff, with the best combination of the best stuff and confidence on the staff. This is a guy they need if they want to get to where they want to get to.
I might agree with you that he has the best stuff, but I don't know if he's the best pitcher. I don't believe he's the best pitcher. I think he has the best stuff, but overall, to me, Zach Greinke is that guy on this staff, and he's not hurt. He's not gone anywhere. So I think this will slightly hurt the Astros, but they can overcome it with having guys back like Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve playing up to the level of Jose Altuve or something close to it. You know, Bregman looks like he's going to be primed to have a breakout year this year. And it's not even a breakout year, but he's going to be an MVP candidate this year. Carlos Correa, MVP-type candidate this year.
He knows.
You got a lot of guys on this roster up and down the lineup that can help you make up a run here or there. And so I think it's going to hurt the Astros, but I don't think it's going to be the difference between them being a competitive team and up against the big boys in the American League.
Yeah, we're hoping that Framber doesn't have to miss the entire season and that he can get back for the Astros. Look, we know that the Jets, if the Texans were to trade and start answering calls, the Jets would be the team that would make sense to get the most back for the Texans. But would it make sense for the Jets to make that deal? We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Clint Sterner is out on his honeymoon. Wade Smith is in, former Houston Texan. And Wade, we all have agreed that if the Texans are going to make a deal, and I know you've been talking about it, Clint thinks the Dolphins, but the Jets as well. The Jets have the most ammunition. They've got two first-round picks this year, two first-round picks next year, including the number two overall pick this year. They've got their second-round picks. They've got good young talent in Quinnen Williams and Marcus May, the safety. They've got a quarterback in Sam Darnold that I think many people are higher on than maybe, I know you are, than Tua. So they seem to be the team that would make the best trade partner.
Mm-hmm.
What about from the other side? Should the Jets look at this? Should the Jets hear everything that I said that they have and think to themselves, well, maybe we should build and give Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson a fair chance and build around them rather than giving up the house to get Deshaun Watson? What do you think would be the best plan of action if you were the Jets?
So if I'm the Jets, and you heard Joe Douglas talk about it earlier today about how you have to hit on your draft picks, and the best way to build your roster is by going through the draft, because that market, you can get the most value out of your players because you have more control over them. They make less money. And you usually have less injuries the younger you are as a player, so you can get the most out of guys. That makes a lot of sense. But one thing he did not mention is that teams that consistently win 10, 11, 12 ball games, they're in the playoffs, competing for Super Bowls, they all have franchise quarterbacks. Think about the best teams that are walking around the NFL right now. Teams like the Seattle Seahawks, teams like the Pittsburgh Steelers, teams like the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, New Orleans Saints. These teams have franchise quarterbacks. Now, Tampa Bay was 8-8 last year. They got a franchise guy that won a Super Bowl. But all the other teams that I listed, they've had a franchise quarterback. Green Bay Packers, they've had a franchise quarterback for the past 5, 6, 7, 10, 12 years.
Ravens may be the only team that hasn't had a quarterback.
The Ravens quarterback is the MVP. Just saying. But all of those teams have franchise quarterbacks, and so each and every year they've got a legit shot.
Seattle, yep.
And so with that being the case, if you bring in a guy like Deshaun Watson, it makes absolute sense, because he's one of those guys. He's in that category with all of those guys that are franchise quarterbacks. If I have that, along with I'm not giving up all of my picks, I'm just giving up some first round picks, and I'm sending away a quarterback that no longer would be valuable here anymore because I'm bringing in Deshaun Watson, I think it makes absolute sense to go that route, as opposed to dealing with a lot of uncertainty. Is Sam Darnold going to take that step? Is Zach Wilson just a one-hit wonder? Is Justin Fields develop to be the guy that we think he can be? Is Trey Lance, like, you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. He's the one guy in the draft that you would say has kind of the surefire gonna make it cachet to him, but that's not guaranteed. But you do know what you have in Deshaun Watson. So from the New York Jets perspective, I believe they could put it, there could be a trade package put together by the Texans that would send to them, that they would say to themselves, we're giving up a bunch of picks, but we still have picks. We have money to go out and help build this roster as well. We have picks on the back end of our draft. We're just giving up high-end picks. We're not giving up third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks. We still have money to go out and get free agents, and we also have the number one recruiter, as in Deshaun Watson, to do it with. I think absolutely makes sense for them to go that route, as opposed to with the uncertainty of Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson.
Where are you at, Houston? 713-572-4610. What do you think? We understand what would be the best for the Texans, but where would you go if you're the Jets? Would you even make this move with the Jets? The Jets have 4 first-round picks in this year's draft and next year's draft, including number 2 overall. And Sam Darnold, they just drafted a couple years ago in the top 5. And this is a guy who, under Adam Gase and no real weapons whatsoever, it's hard to say if you really know how good he can be. Like, I look at that cat, man. If he can be as good as a Ryan Tannehill has been, or Baker Mayfield this past year, man, and I got 4 picks, which could be multiplied because they could make a deal to trade down with one of those teams that wants a quarterback to get more ammo to build up their team and build up that defensive team the way Robert Saleh would like to when he had all those guys up front with the 49ers. Like, I wonder if that makes more sense than giving up everything and then rolling with Deshaun. And I got to be honest, Wade, last year shook me a little bit. The Houston Texans season, I've never in my life seen anything like it. Maybe I need one of y'all to smack the hell out of me to come back. Because I've been a quarterback, everything. I looked at that Super Bowl, okay, Chiefs have the better quarterback, Chiefs have the better coach. That generally runs through. And I understand their offensive line and everything, but I'm generally a coach and quarterback guy. And I'm with you, man. The sure thing is Deshaun. But I have never seen a quarterback play at an MVP level. And I watched every game and understand how these games went. But I've never in my life seen a quarterback play at an MVP level, which Deshaun did last year for a lot of stretches, and it resulted in 4 wins. I've just never, ever seen that. But also I've never seen a level of dysfunction that I've ever seen from an organization. So I remember, but it's just still messing with my head a little bit.
So basically up until this point your whole life, you always thought that the quarterback – had the greatest capability.
I'm always go for it.
For game changeness, basically, is what you're saying.
Listen, if you want to have that a part of your life, if you want to have that game changeness in your life, go to sodaweightloss.com.
So you thought Deshaun Watson would have more of game changeness in him?
What kind of, game changeness? What kind of fun are you having today, Tyler? You feeling good about yourself?
I feel great. I feel really good, actually.
Listen, it got away. I got off the script, and I started feeling real good in there, and then I got stuck on game change. And
game
change.
That's gonna be a new rating on Madden. You know, Madden they got catch and
awareness,
speed, awareness, game changiness. Deshaun's game changingness was like 43 last year because
really
he couldn't figure out a way to
I
get
really
them from being 4-12.
Like
Lamar Jackson's game changingness jumped 4 points.
Game changingness.
You're gonna have Ocho Cinco doing the videos talking about how the game changingness of Deshaun Watson went up 2 points.
Dan Orlovsky on TV. If you look at his game changingness.
Game changingness. Just gonna kick old show around today, aren't we, huh? We're having a good time. Having a good time, Tyler? You'll play. You got a few more times in you?
I do. I think whoever's going to win the Super Bowl next year is going to have that player that has the most game changeness.
Game changeness.
Oh, man.
Man, talk 4 hours, man, and you mess up. It was an excellent read, too, until I slid into that place. Game changeness. Okay, all right.
It happens. From time to time, you get stuck. And it's okay. It's a live read. You can't go back.
What is it?
You just got to rock with it.
What's the first name of former President Nixon?
Richard?
Mr. Belding from Saved by the Bell. I think it's Richard too. That's what you're being.
He's being a Richard.
Yeah, he's being a real Richard.
Ticket show.
Game changeness. Okay, man. All right, dude. Once again, Megan, I really hate your husband. I just want to be honest with you. I just want to be honest with you. The Texans broke out a new digital series that they're going to put out, and I can't wait for it every week. The first episode came out, and they made a massive mistake, in my opinion. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, earlier today, I think that was released today, right? The Building a Texan, their new series that the Texans are producing. It's about 7-8 minutes where they kind of showed the introduction of how Nick Caserio and the hiring process and when they brought in head coach David Culley. And actually, it was well done. The Texans did a good job with it. Their department who puts that together did a good job with it. But there was one person that was completely absent from it and no part of it. And we got to see all of the power players. Cal McNair was in it, handing a pen in an awkward way. David Culley was in there and his beautiful wife. She was in there. And Nick Caserio was in there with
Nick Corsi
with that horrific jacket. Mm. He was in there. I mean, all the power players, except for Jackie Sherby, a.k.a. Leap of Faith. He was the only one that was not around on that. And it wasn't a part of the episode. And I think this is a mistake, Wade. And it's weird because when you know something's on your mind, you might see something. I got in a rabbit hole of watching A-Rod.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Alex Rodriguez, the great player who'll never go in the Hall of Fame because of his steroid use multiple times. But I'm looking at A-Rod. Do you remember A-Rod after he got caught again and some of the slime ball things that he's pulled off? Like, he did not have a positive rating amongst people. Like, A-Rod was not a, hey,
his approval rating was
yes,
at all time.
Very low. He had to change it up. Him and his team and his management, whatever, they had to change things up to have a different narrative about A-Rod. And right. to help his post-baseball career. And they did, man. One of the big things he did he was on Shark Tank. And people really started to enjoy him on Shark Tank. And like, hey, there's A-Rod. He's not maybe the slime ball. Like, maybe they didn't celebrate him getting hit by pitches and stuff. And then the big thing that he did was he met J-Lo. And the very likable J-Lo helped his image rise at an enormous rate.
Yeah.
And now you looked at A-Rod and you didn't look at him like the giant a-hole that many people thought he was. And he went and they'd done some sit-downs and he's been on Ellen and he's been on, like, you're like, oh, that A-Rod, he's cool.
Yeah.
Now A-Rod's on Fox and ESPN. Who the hell does that? Who's on both networks doing baseball? Who's doing that? But they got him out there. They had a plan to try to rehabilitate his reputation. If Jack Easterby's going to be here, and he's going to be here, right?
He's going
to
be here.
If Jack's going to be here, to me, Wade, it would make sense. Well, why don't the Texans start to change the narrative on Jack Easterby? And at least around the league, people won't just look at Jack Easterby like, oh, my God, I'm not coming there because I don't know what he's doing or he's running stuff or there some of the perceptions that have been thrown around like he's running some sort of a revival of some sorts and all this stuff, all of the things that people are saying, like, get him out there, have some interviews, have some set up interviews, find him his version of J-Lo, like not because he's married, but find his version of whatever it is that could change the way at least people outside of Houston look at him, so Nick Caserio's damn job doesn't have to be this hard.
That all sounds good.
They need a rehabilitation tour for Jack Easterby.
I don't think it's a realistic perspective to say that they could come up with something that would make the city of Houston say, you know what, Jack's all right with me. I can't figure out the way that you would go about it for you to say, you know what, Jack's all right with me. I mean,
at least better than this.
The McNairs go out and give food, water, sustenance to people that are in a bad way. And every comment you see on social media is negative.
That was tough. After they gave $500,000,
going out there, boots on the ground, and it's a lot of negative. So imagine what it would be like for Jack Easterby. Because people point the finger at Jack Easterby like he's the one that is the catalyst to everything that has gone wrong in the organization. And it's a significant amount of people that feel that way. So I don't think there's a way or there is a path.
You don't think you can rebuild it?
There's no path to success here in the city of Houston. And maybe you say outside of Houston he can rebuild that reputation. But the thing about it is you know, A-Rod, And some of the people you mentioned earlier today, like Kevin Hart and
Ellen DeGeneres. Ellen's in the middle of her rehabilitation tour.
There's a lot of people that are in these rehab tours, as you
Tiger.
So eloquently put. Tiger Woods, when he went through his deal. But they were excellent at what they did before they had their fall. And then they climbed back and then became excellent again at what they did. I'm not seeing the excellence that Jack Easterby has done since he's been here in Houston. So I think the best thing for the Texans to do is to do what they've been doing and out of sight, out of mind.
Oh.
Out of sight, out of mind.
But when he doesn't speak and when you don't hear anything and you continue to see moves that have his name written all over it, that hasn't been working. Someone just texted, no offense, but the entire NFL nation thinks Jack is screwing up the Texans. I agree with that. And I don't, I'm with you. I don't think right now there is anything that the Texans could do to trot Jack out there that will change the thought process of the people in Houston. Right? I don't think that they're going to change Tyler Milner's thoughts at all on Jack Easterby. I don't think there's an interview he can do. He can't sit down with Vanessa Richardson. There's no interview. None.
He doesn't want to do that.
Anyone.
Vanessa's going to keep it all the way 100.
Well,
want to do that. I'm just saying.
The city of Houston, I think he's lost that one. I think that one's done. But what has made Nick Caserio's job difficult is around the league, from coaches, maybe front office potential people, cap people, or players that have choices to go somewhere, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to go over there with everything that's up, because the perception is Jack Easterby is a puppet master pulling all kinds of strings. Feels that way every day. But that's at least the perception that comes around. And to me, you got to at least get him out there. Have him sit down on Good Morning Football. Have him sit down with Vanessa. Hell, come in here with us. It's open, and we'll be right here for you. We got you. Sit down with Landry.
If you're part of his PR group,
maybe not Landry.
How do you figure that works out? How does that thing go? If you're part of his if the questions, legitimate questions, are asked, how can he answer those questions in the manner that would make you feel better about him and how we got to this place?
We need you to get here. This is you, Jack. You can pull this off. He can do what Ellen and everyone does, and that's deflect and answer things
answer.
No, he can get away.
This is what these other people did and have done. They apologize, they have some type of retribution, and then they move forward. The only retribution for Jack Easterby is for him to say, I'm going to step away from this situation so that the organization can move forward. I don't think he wants to do that. I don't think he's going
to
do that.
No, he don't have to step.
He's not going anywhere.
But he could hit some semblance of, listen, I really hate that things in my presence or things have happened that have caused such issues around this organization.
He put a statement out there already
sit it down and talking to us, and he would he could keep deflecting and give this thing and at least give this thing off of, man, I really hate and apologize to the McNair family that all of these things have gone around, and then come out and deny everything like you know he will and say, but I listen, Nick Caserio was chosen by them. I have no continue to come out and say what Cal and them are saying.
If he says he was chosen by them, people would believe that, or would they think he's lying?
I know Houston would. But
the point, though.
Just Houston, but I think if he comes out and does some apology to it, just do a local one, go do good football, Good Morning Football, maybe sit down with Diana Rossini. If he does this, to me, around the league, at least people may say, okay, we feel a little bit different about that situation, instead of, no, putting up crosses and stuff. No, get away. It helps better than him just sitting back here and appearing to continue to pull strings from the back end.
You are not going to get anything positive out of doing that.
You don't.
I'm being honest with you. If you were my PR representative, I'd be like, nah, man, I'm going to have to let you go from your services. Because
we got to get you out.
I'm going to have to.
We got to try to control the narrative.
He put out a statement. When you've done so many things wrong and you haven't been held accountable for it, you can never come back from that.
You think he's just incapable of coming back from it?
He can go back to New England and do his role that he did there, because he did that role well. He had success in his role there. he could go back and do that in other places as long as he doesn't try to go above and beyond what his purview is. That's where he got into issues. So there's certain lanes that people can be in certain lanes with people that when they try to do things that are above what they can handle, it gets out of control. That's what happened here. If he would have stayed in his lane, I don't think we'd even be talking. We wouldn't be talking about Jack Easterby.
Well, of course.
He would just be part of the organization, and it would be a guy that the guys can go talk to, that the players can talk to, and that's how he was in New England. And that's not what he's been here in Houston. And that's where the issue came. I don't think is he redeemable from that aspect. He's got to be out of sight, out of mind, and he's got to do the work behind the scenes. And then the Texans start having results, positive results. At that point, that's when he can start popping up again. And that he can start explaining how things got here and the path that we took. And this is why those things, we had to take step backs in order to take steps forward. And if you see some positive results, people can say, okay, well, maybe they had this long plan and some people would be willing to forgive. There's going to be some people that are never going to forgive him, and that's a significant amount of people. But until you show some evidence of doing something right, ain't nobody going to listen to what you got to say.
From the text line show, these are bad comparisons because they were good at their job and made one big mistake. Listen, I'm not going to argue the good at the job part. I'm saying give him about a good week and a half to get out here and get in front and you try to control the narrative. Hell, they could be scripted interviews, but to try to get some semblance of control of the narrative and then go ahead and hide him again. But the thought, and I know it's a lost cause in Houston. I think in some way it could help outside of the league and maybe slow down the perception that, let's just be honest, that a some crooked televangelist is running the organization. That's the perception. I'm not saying that's what it is. I'm saying that's the perception. Like,
I tell you what, man. The thing that he could do is go out and about in the public and do good works for people in the community.
And just
leave it at that.
That too. Don't
have any expectations of, hey, if I do this, people are going to forgive me. Nah, you do good because you want to do good. Period. You don't. Because if you try to approach it from the standpoint is I'm going to control the narrative so that people will feel better about me and my role in the organization, people will see through that. You're only doing this because you know how bad the situation is.
That's what everybody on those tours where they try to get better. People, we all know that A-Rod is still a creep.
Those people were great at things. He has not shown himself to be competent.
We're bringing up that good point.
It's the truth, though.
Quit bringing up that good point.
You just got to put his head down and do the work behind the scenes.
That hasn't been working.
Do the work behind the scenes. Do the work behind the scenes and hope that things get better. Hope and pray that things get better. If things start getting better, then he can start popping up again. But if he's going to go out and about, it's just to do good for people, and he's going to have to take some flack. And I think people will respect him because people might talk crazy to him while he's trying to do good for him, and that's it. But yeah, you can't have any expectations for people to forgive you based off of everything that's gone on since he's been here and the predicament that the franchise is in right now. That's just not reasonable.
Let's go, Larry in Stafford. I'm going to let you jump in on this. Go ahead, Larry.
What's going on, Show Smitty? Look here, man, a couple of things. My Joe Clark voice. So you do crack, don't you? you know it mess with your brain cells. Jump then. Go ahead and jump. Because what you talking about, this rehabilitation of Jack Easterby, man, your ass is crazy. Jack, you want to know how you can rehabilitate Jack Easterby? I'm gonna do him a solid. You put Jack Easterby's ass in a car, and you drive him down Main Street to that McDonald's right across the street from the Greyhound bus station, and you get him two of those $2 cheeseburgers. And then you walk his ass in the Greyhound and put his ass on the first bus smoking back to New England or wherever he goes. You get his ass out of town. Jack Easterby can't be rehabilitated, man, because Jack Easterby got 70,000 fans that go to games every single Sunday sitting here in misery watching them get ready to get rid of our quarterback and go 0-16
But Larry, is that a choice? Is that a choice? You know he's not going anywhere, though. That's not a real choice.
I don't know how much time Jack Easterby got, but I know I want him to be miserable every time he steps out his front door, because his ass has made me feel like I can't even support my own team in my own town, and he's not even from Texas. That old bald-head charlatan don't even deserve to be in that organization anyway. So let me ask you this, Smitty. Have you forgiven Tammy and Tammy Faye Baker and Jim Baker and the Guyana tragedy for all them folks? Don't nobody forget that kind of stuff. Look here, man. Jack Easterby is a joke. And Nick Caserio and my boy Derwin called in, and he said it right on the money. Nick Caserio has been in on it from the get-go, because he was always the one that they wanted, and we all knew it. That's exactly why OB was over there trying to be the GM for right now, so that when Caserio got him, he can mess up everything else. Look, this is real simple, man. Y'all have to process the information of the fact that Whitney Merciless, David Johnson, Eric Murray, Vernon Hargraves, and all these other dudes are still on this team, and J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins, and maybe Deshaun Watson is not going to be on. And that should tell you everything why. And let me go on to this building back better thing that the Texans are trying to push off on everybody. I still saw the same clown-ass dude in that green suit, and I saw Nick Caserio ass in that flannel jacket again, and all they did was rehash my whole anger about the fact that his ass was in H-Town. They better not put your boy Easterby in front of no camera, man. We'll light his ass up, showing our holler.
Listen, I'm not saying that the Jack Easterby being here is the best move for the organization. I'm saying I'm dealing in the thought process of Jack's not going anywhere. He's not going to be given those cheeseburgers. He's not going to get into this Greyhound or anything like that. That's obviously not occurring. And I'm saying if you're the Texans, at least you do something to try to help the narrative. And the narrative right now around the league and in Houston, I think that ship has sailed in Houston, but the narrative around the league is, I listen to Pat McAfee. I listen to guys all across the country. I listen to Colin Cowherd. The narrative is a crooked televangelist is running the organization. You should get out in front and try to change that.
Can I get an amen?
And now when people look at A-Rod, mostly because of J-Lo, they don't look at a guy who is a creep, who is a bad guy, who is a person that would do anything, lie, cheat. No, he gets hired at Fox and ESPN because they changed the narrative.
I love your passion. I love your passion.
I'm just being honest. Jack's not going anywhere. And if
everybody
Texans,
knows he's not going anywhere, but everybody
Texans,
also knows that ain't no reclamation project with him in this city, and there's really not one nationally. There's one place he can go. There's one place he can go, and I think a lot of guys that leave New England always know that I can always come back home. I'm going to go out and try to spread my wings, but if worse comes to worse, I can always go home. But people look at this situation and say, why would I want to bring that into my building? Why would I want to bring that into my building? So there is no, hey, let's have an interview and we're going to feel better. All an interview is going to do is make people matter. If he's honest, that's going to make people matter. If he lies, that's going to make people matter. There's nothing he can say. There's nothing you can say or do that could fix it. So what's the point?
You
put him behind the scene and you let him do what he does. And whatever that is, because we really never know what that is, but he does what he does. And as the team starts to progress and grow over time, first of all, time heals all wounds, hopefully. In most cases, it does. But in this case, there's no fixing this show. There's no fixing it
no,
for
I,
him.
No, I can
for
get,
him.
I can
the,
get
the
with
organization
that.
Can get back on top. That can happen.
I can understand that.
But for
can.
Him... He's the catalyst to Deshaun Watson being out of the building.
It may
Keith
be
Easterby.
It's crazy.
It may be too far, and you're right. It may be too far gone, and I can hear that, and I see that on the text line. It won't work. I'm just saying, if you're the Texans, like, do you just sit and continue to have that be your perception?
If you're the Texans, you put your head down, and you start drafting people, you make moves, you make your trades you need to make, and you go out and try to win as many ball games as you can. And winning cures everything. And it might take 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it's going to take. But That's the only thing that's going to fix things to Texans fans is if, one, they let him go, which we know that's not going to happen, or two, if they start winning ball games.
Winning
that's
cure,
the only way you can fix it.
Winning cures all. You got a chance to win tomorrow. Your chance to win a signed autographed football from J.J. Watt. Key times to be listening between 4 and 4:15 to get J.J.'s code word, and between 5 and 5:15 to call in with that code word and be the number 5 caller. We've had a great time. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, Texans All Access coming up behind us. Great job today, T. Sleazy. Wade, great as always. I'm Ron, the show, Hughley. What the hell do I say every day? We love you, Houston! Seemed impossible to fail. Listen, if you want to have that a part of your life, if you want to have that game changeness in your life. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.